You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
The Cowboys loaded up at wide receiver when they selected CeeDee Lamb with the 17th pick of the draft. Dallas followed that up in day two by selecting defensive back Trayvon Diggs out of Alabama. So, Shannon, give the Cowboys a letter grade for the draft.
Skip, I really like the draft. Skip, I gave him a B+. And let me tell you why I gave him a B+. I think CeeDee Lamb was a luxury pick. I think the thing is, Skip, they were looking to go in a different direction. But CeeDee Lamb, at the time they came up the pick at the 17th slot, he was the highest player remaining, or the highest graded player remaining on the board. So instead of taking need, they took best available player, although they really didn't need that position. I thought the next pick, Trayvon Diggs, Skip, in the second round, they needed a corner. They got a corner. Now, I understand they took Neville Gallimore, another Oklahoma player, with the third round pick. But I thought for me, Skip, and this tells me they're going to a 3-4 defense, Skip. I thought they really needed an edge rusher. Now, they might know something we don't. Maybe they believe that Alden Smith and Gregory will get reinstated. And so maybe that's one of the reasons why they didn't take an edge rusher higher, Skip, is that they believe these guys are going to be reinstated and they'll be able to give them something from those spots. But it's hard to argue that they don't get a good grade because they feel the need. They needed a center for the sudden retirement of Travis Frederick. They went out and got a center. But the thing for me, Skip, is that they didn't get the edge rusher until they took the guy out of Utah in the fifth round. So I felt if they'd got an edge rusher sooner, they would have gotten, I would have given them an A. But it's hard for me to give them anything. They deserve a B+, because I thought Will McClay does a great job of scouting. Jerry Jones was on his yacht. Maybe that's why he was a Skip. He probably was out far enough. Nobody can get on a speedboat and get to him soon enough, so he wouldn't do anything dumb. But I thought they did a very good job, Skip. I like the CeeDee Lamb pick. I don't love the CeeDee Lamb pick because, like I said, Skip, they made a strength. They took a strength and made it even stronger. But it's hard to argue with what they got and the needs that they were able to fill. I just wish they would have filled the edge rusher a little sooner. But like I said, maybe they believe that Alden Smith and Gregory will be reinstated and they'll be able to give them something. But I gave them a B+, Skip.
That's big of you. Now it's my turn. How about my Cowboys? My Cowboys won the draft. I'll give you that Baltimore had a very good draft. Dallas had a little better draft. Pro Football Focus gave my Cowboys an A+. I'll be objective and just give them an A because it was sensational. And as Stephen Jones said yesterday, you're going to have to go a long ways to be more all-time than how we hit on pick after pick after pick. Because what happened, Shannon, was let's start with CeeDee Lamb. He's the steal of the first round. They had him ranked sixth on their board, and he fell in their laps at 17. And CeeDee said on Saturday, I didn't even talk to Dallas. We didn't even communicate except briefly at the combine. So it was the last thing on his radar and the last thing on their radar that he would fall to them. I give Jerry Jones high marks for saying, what? and scrapping whatever plan they had at 17 and saying,
right,
we have to take a receiver. We do need a slot receiver. And he played about 50% of his Oklahoma snaps in the slot. But you have to take the ultimate playmaker. I told you, to me, he's the best receiver in the draft. You stole him at 17. And then you proceeded in the next five picks to steal every one of those picks because every player they took from then on should have been drafted at least one round earlier. Let's start with Trevon Diggs. I'm not the biggest fan of his, but I kept trying to evaluate him as the 17th overall pick because a lot of people were mocking Diggs to the Cowboys in the first round at number 17. They got him at 51. Yeah. My concern was when I watched LSU in Alabama, Jamar Chase, who can really play, he was hurting Trevon Diggs. Diggs is a press corner. He's a big physical corner. And I love it that his big brother can really go get the football because Trevon, when he was a senior, you know, obviously in high school, he was a star receiver. He's a ball hawk. He loves to get his hands on the football and intercept the football. He is the polar opposite of Byron Jones, who they lost in free agency, obviously, to the Dolphins, who dramatically overpaid for a guy who had two interceptions in five Cowboys seasons. Diggs will intercept the football. Maybe he's bound to be a safety at some point, and that would be just fine with me. And then we go to third round. You brought up Neville Gallimore. I watch every snap Oklahoma plays because I'm born and raised a Sooner fan. Shannon, trust me, what do I always tell you about how I study college players? It's all off television, and I look for them to flash, to pop, to jump off the screen. Neville Gallimore, over the last five or six games of the year, just took games over. I'd say, where did he come from? He's out of Ottawa, obviously, Ontario in Canada, and he's a little bit of a late bloomer, but he goes 304, and he ran 479 at the combine. He can flat fly for a big man, and he's a force. He's high motor. He's a game changer because he's just a relentless people mover in the middle of the field. So I thought it was to get him in the third round is because he's at least a second round pick to me. And then Mel Kiper wrote that Reggie Robinson, their next pick, who also is a corner who might be a safety, big corner, 6'1", 205, was rocketing up draft boards over the past few weeks. And he was one of my most improved players in the country. And they get Reggie Robinson in the fourth round. And I'm like, thank you, God. And then let's go to the fifth rounder. They obviously lost Travis Frederick out of Wisconsin, who was the late first round pick at 31 and became a perennial Pro Bowler. And he had to retire, obviously, autoimmune condition. And yet they go back to Wisconsin all the way down at the bottom of the fourth round. And they get Tyler Biadasz, who won the Remington Award for the best center in college football. And I'm saying he started for 3 years at the offensive lineman factory that is Wisconsin. And I'm saying, thank you, God, again. How is he still there? I don't know. Will he start next year? Probably not. Could he be a stalwart in the middle of that line for 10 years to come? Sure he could. And you got him almost in the fifth round. Then you talked about edge rusher. And I'm saying, wait a second. They got Bradley Anae out of Utah, and they how is he still there in the fifth round? And Mel Kiper said that on Anae, he's one of my favorite day three picks. I had him ranked 89th overall, and he went 90 spots lower. What? And if you look at his background, Shannon, Bradley Anae at Utah had 24 sacks over the last 2 years and made all Pac-12 first team both years and was third team All-American last year. High motor, playmaker, nasty, relentless. Another guy where you say, what was he doing on the board at that point? I don't know. And I'm saying, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Steal, 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 steal. There were no reaches. There were no head scratchers. There was none of this. Wait a minute. What are you guys doing? Which I often have with the Dallas Cowboys. Although now I must admit, you look back at the last decade, they have had the second most Pro Bowlers to Kansas City over the last 10 years. And I got a feeling CeeDee Lamb's going to be the next one. And maybe a couple of these other guys will make a Pro Bowl along the way. I was stunned, pleasantly shocked by this. I think Dallas won the draft. I think they got way better on obviously Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And I think the Eagles didn't get much better, if any better. And all of a sudden, I'm saying I'm starting to love Dallas next year to win the NFC East.
You know what, Skip? When you look at it, a lot of times, Skip, if you hit on the first rounder, nobody really cares what else you do in the second, third, or fourth, or fifth round. So if CeeDee Lamb is the player, because that's the guy, Skip, you no matter what transpired, you're always looking at the first rounder. But the guys that are in the later round, those are your team builders. That's how you fill your team in and have success, because the likelihood of every last one of your first round, the Cowboys have been very good at their first round draft picks. You look at Tyron Smith, you look at Zach Martin, you look at Frederick, who just retired, you got Zeke Elliott, you got Amari Cooper. So, Skip, they've kind of hit on their first rounders. Now, the second round draft pick, the Wolf Hunter, he's really the only first round draft pick they got on that side of the football. All the rest of the guys, you know, Jalen Smith, they got Jalen Smith. Everybody thought, well, what are you doing taking a chance? They took a chance. He came back. He's great. I think DeMarcus Lawrence was a second round pick. So, Skip, they've hit.
What?
So now these guys, what you do, Skip, is that your first rounders, those are your headline guys. But the guys that fill your team in and make your success are the Diggs, the Gallimore, the Robinsons. So, Skip, if these players are what you believe they can be, Dallas is on to something. And they'll be in contention because they got some players. Now, name, Skip, they got great name recognition. Now, we've seen that guy sometimes, you're like, oh, man, that guy, oh, he can't miss. He can't miss in the NFL, and all of a sudden, it don't turn out. But if they turn out to be what you believe they can be, the Cowboys hit it out the park. I'll give you that. The Cowboys hit it out the park, and the Eagles struck out.
Okay, thank you. And final point about CeeDee Lamb. The more I think about it, obviously, Dallas wasn't in the market, you think, for a number one receiver, because they just gave $100 million to Amari Cooper. But you know, correct, and I know how much I dislike Amari on the road, where he disappeared at Jets, at Patriots, at Eagles. And I'm starting to think, hey, CeeDee Lamb might emerge as the number one receiver to the number two Amari, or at least he would push Amari to show up occasionally on the road, Amari. Now he's got somebody to push him, because all CeeDee Lamb does is make plays, catch footballs, get open, hard to get on the ground. He's a playmaker and a touchdown scorer. And I'm saying, yeah, I'll take that, because I was a little shaky with Amari as the quote unquote $100 million man. And now I'm not. CeeDee, Amari, Gallup, Blake Jarwin, I'm good. Thank you.
Skip, I believe that this is a Gallup, because Gallup's going to come due, going to be looking for a payday probably, Skip. If he has the type of year that he had last year, he's going to be looking for a payday. And so now you might be able to move Gallup, get draft pick, Skip, and put CeeDee Lamb over there. And now you're like, okay, now we got something, because he's going to be valuable. Gallup's going to be valuable. You see all the receivers that went. So obviously, it's not that people don't want receivers. They want them. And here's a guy that's big, fast, can make contested catches. He'll be worth something if they don't want to pay, give him that big payday, because he's going to be looking for a payday, Skip, after next season.
Hard to argue with you guys. The Cowboys made some really smart decisions, and Skip is happy. No mercy. Well, despite the Packers taking quarterback Jordan Love with their first-round pick, head coach Matt LaFleur doesn't see the clock ticking on Aaron Rodgers. LaFleur said he anticipates Rodgers leading his team for a really long time. Green Bay would end up drafting a running back, tight end, and three offensive linemen. So, Shannon, how should Aaron Rodgers feel about the entire draft?
He's going to feel like every other quarterback that's had a quarterback selected in the first round when he was there. Skip, this situation is very familiar. See, I'm familiar with this situation, Skip, and I don't know how many people know this. I played with a guy in John Elway. We went to the AFC Championship game. We lost to the Buffalo Bills 10-7. And the next year in the draft, guess what they took, Skip? One Tommy Maddox in the first round. Quick question, Skip. How you think John felt about that? Now, John Elway was a very similar guy. He hadn't won a Super Bowl at that time, but he had gone to 3 Super Bowls. He was an MVP. He had gone to the Pro Bowl. He had just taken a team to the AFC Championship game. And not you don't get someone that can help us right away, a receiver, running back. No, you take a quarterback. And that didn't go over very well. And I can assure you. Now, I know what they're saying, Skip. Jordan Love, the first person to call him was Aaron Rodgers and says, I can't wait to look forward. And I get all this, LaFleur said, you know, yada, yada. You're lying. Trust me. I know. I was on a team with a guy that's very similar accomplished to what Aaron Rodgers is. And he was not happy that they took a quarterback in the first round. Aaron Rodgers is even more upset because guess what you did, Skip? You moved up to get him. At least the Broncos, like, we sit right here, you know, we sitting right here, Tommy Maddox dropping out. Okay, we got to take a quarterback. You moved up to get the guy. You're like, hold on. When do we have this plethora of receivers? And I know you said we like those guys, Skip. There were 13 receivers taken in the first two rounds. You mean, Aaron Rodgers said, hold on, wait a minute. You couldn't get another receiver. You move up to take a quarterback, but you can't move up to take a receiver. Man, Aaron Rodgers said that Skip, he done probably had about 4 or 5 bottles of scotch. He's seething. I thought the Green Bay draft wasn't very good. And that's putting it mildly. Aaron Rodgers is upset. I don't care what Aaron says. He's going to say all the right things publicly because he's already kind of got this reputation of being a little salty, Skip, being hard to get along with. So he's going to say all the things correct publicly. The head coach, LaFleur, he's going to say all the things. But I think the general manager made it very clear. He's like, well, he consulted Aaron when we made this pick. That tells you everything you need to know because we reported last year, Skip. He's like, hey, don't you be the problem, Aaron. Don't you be the problem.
Yep. So just for the record, Shannon Sharp, Mel Kiper gave the Green Bay Packers the worst grade of all 32 teams in the draft. The worst grade. And as you know, I've never been the biggest fan of Aaron Rodgers, but by Saturday night, I was starting to feel sorry for Aaron Rodgers. This is not fair to him. In fact, this is starting to feel, remember the word I invented about Belichick versus Brady? It's starting to feel a little sabotage-y going into next year where they're making it virtually impossible for Aaron to succeed next year so they can fast track him right out the back door for the following year or maybe 2 years, but at least sooner than later in favor of Jordan Love. Now, look, if Jordan Love turns out to be the next Patrick Mahomes, my hat's off. Like, I got no quarrel with this. But it looks like they're heading in a new direction even next year with Aaron at quarterback. Because I read this from a Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reporter who said that he had talked to an agent who said that his inside word was the Packers are moving in a new direction as a run-oriented team next year, because what player, Shannon, did they take in the next round? They took A.J. Dillon out of Boston College, who is a Derrick Henry of a big banger at almost 250 pounds. And it looks like, again, you know how big a fan I became last year of Aaron Jones. I thought he was the real Aaron MVP of the Packers. I thought he had a better year than Aaron Rodgers did last year.
Right.
And I got to meet Aaron Jones. He came up and introduced himself to me on South Beach at the Super Bowl. And he's a great young man. And again, he loves to beat up my team, the Cowboys, because he grew up a Cowboy fan in El Paso in South Texas. But the point is, maybe he should be a little concerned going into next year also, because if you look at A.J. Dillon's history at Boston College, he was a big banger, a big part of their offense, because 3 years he had huge high carries. He had 300 carries as a freshman when he was what they call the rookie of the year in the ACC. Then he got hurt for a couple of games, had 227 carries sophomore, and then last year he had 318 carries, and his yards went 1,600, 1,100, and 1,700 yards. So he can tote the rock, and I think that Gutekunst, the GM, and LaFleur, the head coach, are saying, well, wait a second. If we don't trust Aaron anymore to get it done, how about we start trying to do what Tennessee did to sort of supplement how much they didn't really believe yet in Ryan Tannehill. And Derrick Henry, obviously, down the stretch last year, just took over game after game. So I think Aaron's going to find he'll be throwing the ball even less next year as A.J. Dillon takes over as the driving force of the offense. And then Mel Kiper concluded in his draft analysis, he didn't like any pick. In fact, that DeGuara they took, he's kind of an H-back out of Cincinnati, and I don't know him, but Mel didn't have much respect for him. And from then on, he just said, I don't see any impact pass catchers. I don't see anything. And he just couldn't figure out, to your point, how do you not take one of those receivers? There must have been 12 receivers all the way down to that SMU kid, Prochet, who Baltimore took, I think, in the seventh round. I liked him. And you tell me you can't even get him? Like what are you doing to Aaron Rodgers? So I think the handwriting is all over the locker room walls, just scrawled, on the way out, Aaron Rodgers, thank you for playing.
Skip, there were 13 receivers taken in the first two rounds. And I guess what he was saying, the general manager was saying, that anybody that went after those 13, we don't even know they can make our roster. Well, damn, how many Devontae Adams y'all got on y'all roster? I just see one. Now, Lazard and Kumaro and Valdez Scanlon, they get EQ, coming back, Skip. But he makes it seem like he got Julio and Mike Thomas on the other side of Devontae Adams. Skip, they did sign Devon Funches in the offseason. But Skip, when I look at this, I'm like, okay, how many of these guys, Skip, of your draft? Because at some point in time, Skip, you have a draft, the guy's got to contribute. Somebody's got to make a contribution this year. I understand that you get drafts and Skip, you said, okay, build a foot. But you're going to get somewhat, if anybody going to make a contribution this year. And for me, Skip, if you want to go into a running team, hell, you could have saved yourself $80 million. Because you gave Aaron Rodgers almost $80 million fully guaranteed, and you got him on the books for another 33, 34 a year for the next 4 years. What they're doing does not make any sense to me. Now, I know Aaron is going to play the good guy because he already has, you know, this reputation. And so he's going like, yeah, hey, you know, I understand they're building for the future. But trust me, he's seething. Because when you take a quarterback, Skip, what quarterback we know, Skip, in the history of time has been happy? Forget if he's a first rounder. When you bring it, look at Joe when they brought Steve Young on. How that work out, Skip? Now, here's Joe Montana, accomplished as he was. Why you bring him on? Peyton Manning never had a problem with it, Skip, because they had quarterbacks that were free agent in 10th and 11th round draft picks. But you start bringing guys the first rounder, second round draft pick at that quarterback position, well, you got problems, Skip. You're going to have problems.
Well, again, my friend Lil Wayne hates me saying this, so I apologize once again, Wayne, for this, but I cannot tell a lie. The stats have shown over the last 4 years, decline, slowly but surely decline, going south steadily, because the QBR and the completion of percentage drop, steadily dropping over the last 4 years. And I hate to say it, but I think the GM and the head coach are seeing exactly what I'm seeing. Even the percent of 20-yard completions fell dramatically last year. So in the end, I think they're just saying it's time for him to go. It's time for us to transition. And Lil Wayne brought this up to me in a text the other day. It's highly possible that Rodgers is going to have to go Brady before he's finished, as in, thank you very much, I'll go here and I'll show you. So maybe Aaron's bound to finish somewhere besides Green Bay. He's 36 now.
Yeah.
Maybe a year or two more in Green Bay, and then maybe at 38, he says, hey, Jacksonville, whoever it is. Yeah, let's start over there and let me show these clowns up in Green Bay what I still have left.
Yeah, Skip, that's how it works. I mean, once you saw Joe Montana and some of the all-time greats have to finish their career, Brett Favre, Emmitt Smith, Jerry Rice, Skip, once you start seeing these all-time greats, nobody, and not Tom Brady? Tom Brady, as accomplished as he is having to take his show on the road. So Aaron Rodgers knows that he's not special. I mean, not in the eyes of you, Skip, he's transcendent. But there's a likelihood, a very good chance, if he wants to continue to play as long as he believes he can, he's probably going to have to do that for another team.
35 wide receivers were taken in the draft, guys. Not one of them went to Green Bay, and that is how we're going to end that discussion. No mercy. Well, yesterday we got to watch two more episodes of The Last Dance that covered Michael Jordan winning his first title after getting past the Bad Boy Pistons. Heading into that season, Jordan lifted more weights to put on several extra pounds of muscle, knowing that he'd need to take the pounding from that Detroit team. So, Shannon, what would have happened to LeBron if he had run in to the Bad Boy Pistons from the 80s?
Jenny, Skip, you've heard me say on several times, I've heard people say the greatest asset that an individual or animal can have is not size, it's not strength, it's not speed, it's not height, it's not size, it's adaptability. Now, we see that in today's society, because now we can't eat in and dine. Guess what restaurants have had to do? They've had to adapt, give you takeout. Skip, did you know Mastro's do takeout now? I never would have thought I'd be able to get an A5 Wagyu, a $500 steak. Their kid could bring it out. That butter cake, Jenny, you know that? Do whole bottles of alcohol. Got me a bottle of Caymus and Silver Oak sitting on the counter right now. Adaptability is the number one key for survival. LeBron James, old gold James, Skip Bayless, you know what he was able to do? People say, LeBron, you can't shoot, back off him. He adapted. He went in the gym. He learned he could shoot. Now he got three-point range. He got logo three-point range. Skip Bayless, you realize now the team that he beat, the Bad Boy Pistons, too, that he took down in 07. Skip, you do realize in 04 they won the title. They beat the Lakers. The Shaq and Kobe Lakers, they took them down in five games. In 2005, they lost to the eventual champs in who, Skip? San Antonio Spurs. And in 06, they lost in the Eastern Conference Finals to the Miami Heat, who won the NBA Finals. And her, lo and behold, Goat James, Sheed Wallace, Chauncey Billups, Tayshaun Prince, Rip Hamilton. They got two guys that were all defense. Chauncey and Rip and Tayshaun was all defensive team. And Goat James, with nobody else to speak of on that roster, took them down. So if you're telling me what would have happened to LeBron James in the 80s had he gone up to the, I don't really like to do hypotheticals. Are you going to tell me he's going to have him a wingman like Scottie Pippen? Because if you're going to tell me he's going to have the same roster that he had in 07 with those Bad Boy Pistons, he wouldn't have done very much. Just like Michael, didn't do anything until he got Scottie. Skip Bayless want people to believe. Skip, this is why I got a problem with you. You want to make people think that Michael Jordan pole vaulted the Big Three Celtics, pole vaulted the Bad Boy Pistons all by himself when you know he didn't do that. So I would have no problem. LeBron James broke up a lot of dynasties. He broke up the Bad Boy Pistons too. He broke up the Big Three Celtics. He broke them up when they went to Jersey. You know that. And he forced the Warriors. The Warriors went and got KD. Begged KD up in the Hamptons. I don't even know how they got in there because the Hamptons is a private. You know, you got to have security. You got to have a special code to get up in there. And they came in and interrupted that man's vacation. So Goat James would have had no problem, Skip. How did the mailman do, Skip? So you talk about a guy that's 6'9", built like mailman, and can handle the ball like Magic. He would have been just fine. He probably would have got through a lot sooner than what Magic did. I mean, Michael did. Now that you're talking about it, Skip Bayless, they wouldn't have had the rain as long as they had Goat James been in the late 80s.
Shannon Sharp, you know
what?
And I know that from the bottom of your heart, you know, your man, Goat James, the phony goat, the faux goat, would have gotten terrorized and humiliated by the Bad Boy Pistons 10 years before he had the, what was it, 48-point game in double overtime against the second generation of Pistons. They were at the end of their run, at the end of all that we knew of greatness in Detroit. They were all aging players. And that night that LeBron scored his 48 in two overtimes, remember what happened? Antonio McDyess, who was their rim protector, got tossed early in the game. And then Rasheed Wallace went haywire at halftime and quit on the team in the second half. And all of a sudden, it was a super highway to the basket for quote-unquote GOAT James. Now back to the Bad Boy Pistons, the real Pistons, the heartbeat of that city, Pistons. They played football, and they realized early on the rules allowed them to play football against Michael Jordan. And I love the John Sally quote because I love John Sally. He said last night on the documentary that you had to stop him, meaning the original 23, before he took flight because, you know, he's not human. That's what they thought. He's not human. Everybody knows that LeBron is all too human, but not this guy at that moment. Dennis Rodman said in the documentary, we tried to physically hurt Michael Jordan. And then Sally said again last night on SportsCenter after the documentary that we were essential to Michael becoming Michael because if he could get through us, he could get through anybody. And Sally went on to put in perspective, in those days, superstars didn't get special treatment. Nobody got special treatment, and nobody tried to flop. Flopping was not allowed. It was against the unwritten rules of basketball. That got brought in by some of the great Euro players, and I will give you this, starting with Manu Ginobili.
Manu!
They taught everybody how to soccer flop. But back in those days, late 80s, against the Pistons, you had to take it and get back up and take it again and get back up. And it was a great point that Michael had to teach everybody. We can't fight back because once we start fighting with them, they got us because we're off our game. We're distracted. We're playing their game. And it wasn't until Rodman shoved Scottie into the first row that Scottie just sat there and looked around and said, okay, that's fine. And calmly got up and walked to the free throw line and made his free throws. That's when Sally said, it's over. If we can't get in their heads, we can't, get them with our bodies. So to me, it would not have been a pretty sight what they would have done to a LeBron James who was not nearly as mentally tough as Michael Jordan is. This is the all-time cold-blooded assassin, Michael Jeffrey Jordan, and he took so much punishment, finally put on 15 pounds of muscle and started giving it back to the Pistons. Because they knew they couldn't beat him at basketball, but they had a chance if they could get away with playing football. And once the rules changed, it was over for anybody of LeBron's ilk, because then you can get away with whatever you want to get away with offensively. They won't allow you to play football anymore. And can you imagine? They would have figured out on LeBron, well, he's a lousy free throw shooter for a quote-unquote superstar. They would have just put LeBron on the line again and again and again. They would have beat him up. He would have started feeling like, I can't do this. I quit. He would have shot his usual 68% from the free throw line, and they would have just kept making him shoot 68%. The three-point shot was not valued or favored at that point, so it wasn't a thing yet. So I don't think LeBron could have even leaned on, I'll just pull up and shoot some 30-foot three so that nobody can criticize me. So I'm sorry, Shannon, it would have gotten very ugly for LeBron James late 80s versus Bad Boys.
I love how you try to do LeBron, because you said these Bad Boy Pistons too were on their last leg. But you forget that the Pistons were the original Bad Boy Pistons had battled the Celtics for 3-4 straight years in the Eastern Conference Finals. They were on their last leg because, as a matter of fact, Skip, did they even make it to another Eastern Conference Final after they lost to the Bulls in 91? Did they ever make it to another one? No.
I so told they you were that done. Was the end of them. Yeah.
So Michael got the end of them. Oh, so that's okay. What he did. He got the bad boy pistols on their last them. Leg. Now he ended them. So LeBron, he got the bad boy pistons too on their last leg. Michael Jordan ended the original bad boy. Stop that, Skip. You remember the Celtics that thought they had broken LeBron James when they won game 5 in Miami. You remember that? All that Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce bumping them gums. And then all I saw, my man had his hands. Skip, you saw him. He was leaning down, had his hands on his shorts, and his eyes were shifting left to right. Ooh, Skip. Oh, I said, boy, it's going to be something good here. Skip, you know, in the Serengeti, that's what the old big lions do. The dark mane, the eyes start going left and right. They see something. They're going to pounce. Ooh, that was one for the ages. 45, 15, and 5, and then he took it back to game 7, 31, and 12. Get up out of here. And the Big 3 Celtic 2.0 was never no more. They took their show on the road to Jersey. We bust them up with Joe Johnson and a Williams kid. No Darren Williams, no more. And Paul Pierce was never to be seen or heard from again. Kevin Garnett was never to be seen or heard from again. So we did that. That's what we did. And we forced the Warriors to go get. Now look at them. Look at what he did, Skip. Look at the Warriors now. In shambles. Because they built their team around KD and KD dipped on them. Look at them now. And look at Goat James. Still going strong in year 17. So how would he have done in the 80s? Unbelievable. He'd have been even better. That's what Isaiah said. Guys like Kevin Durant and LeBron James would have been historically great in the 80s, 90s, the 70s, the 60s, the 40s. So stop this notion, Skip Bayless. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. You keep...
Yeah, are we talking about the same LeBron who did have a very good series bouncing back versus those Celtics after the finals before when he suffered the all-time superstar meltdown we've ever seen? Against the Dallas Mavericks in games 4, 5, and 6? Is it that same GOAT James, quote unquote?
Yeah, Skip. I remember the 81. Do you remember the 81 finals? Those last two games that Larry Bird had in which Cedric Cornbread Maxwell was finals MVP? You remember Magic Johnson in 84? You remember how he got the name Tragic Johnson? So don't pretend like we haven't seen historically great players struggle in finals, because we have. You just want people to believe that LeBron James is the only one. But I tell people, go back and look at the 81 finals. Go back and look at the 84 finals. And you tell me what you think. Because, Skip, like I told you, I remember now. I remember these things. But old GOAT James, we still going strong right now in year 17.
No. Okay, timeout. Larry Bird was a rookie, and then Magic was a young player, and nobody has ever melted down like LeBron did on that stage with the Heatles, as they called him. He had Dwayne, he had Chris Bosh, and he shrank like we've never seen a star shrink before.
First of all, Larry Bird was not a rookie. Larry Bird's rookie season was 79-80. He won the finals in 81. Maxwell was the finals MVP. And Magic Johnson was not a rookie. Magic Johnson was 5 years into the league when he had that bonehead play. Skip, stop this. Stop this. You need to stop. No. I need you to stop this right now. LeBron would have been just fine, Jenny. Don't let Skip try to convince you.
Enough for now, guys. No mercy. The Patriots traded out of their first-round pick and ended up taking 10 players in the draft over the weekend. Bill Belichick did not draft a quarterback and afterwards said that it wasn't by design, but that's how things happen to play out. So, Shannon, please give Belichick a letter grade for me on his draft.
C minus. What the hell you mean, Skip? There's 255, 260 players. You got draft picks, and you're talking about it's not how it played out. You move back up to get to draft a player. Teams move up and down, Skip. When they want a player, they move up to get him. So if you wanted a quarterback, Skip, this was by design. He made sure he did not get a quarterback. It seems to me he's moving ahead with Stead, as he calls him. But Skip, it seems to me that they loaded up on the defensive side of the football, and they're going to play the brand of football that they played last year. Because if you look at it, Skip, how many games can you honestly say Tom Brady won them last year? He says every time that a team got over 17 points, we lost. So if we can keep a team to below 17, why can't Stead win a few games for us? And you and I think, Skip, it looks to me that they're trying, they're getting younger because they went defense the first three picks. They went Doug out of Lenore Ryan, they went Uche out of Michigan, and they went Jennings out of Alabama. So it seems to me they're getting younger because they were the oldest team on both sides of the football last year with all age of almost 30. So it seems to me, Skip, they're going to gear up to play defense again. They're going to try to lead the league in scoring defense, keep the points to a minimum, not put this kid in harm's way and ask him to win games. Because they're like, well, hell, it wasn't like Tom won game for us last year because anytime a team got more than 17, we lost. So I believe Stead can do that. They did take two tight ends, Skip. I guess they're trying to have the success that they had in 2010. Remember the last time they took two tight ends in the draft? It was 2010, Skip, if I'm not mistaken, when they got Gronk and they took Hernandez. So maybe they're going to try to do that again back-to-back. They took that in the third round. So, Skip, I give him a C-minus. And then they got a kicker that all of a sudden he getting random tattoos, Skip, that he don't know the meaning of, but he doesn't know the meaning of what the tattoo means, but I'm going to get it covered up now because it doesn't represent what I thought it represent, or it represents something that I don't want to associate myself with. Hint, hint.
Hint, hint. Given my expectation for Bill Belichick in this draft, given the fact that, silly me, I thought he would manipulate and dominate this draft from the outset, I got to give him a D. I don't get it because Shannon, he did next to nothing in free agency while he lost a parade of free agents, as we know. He cut Gostkowski. He took said kicker, and I'm with you. I still got a big problem with that tattoo. But Mel Kiper had a problem with him taking that kicker because Mel thought another kicker was much better. Mel Kiper had no use for the two tight ends that Belichick took. Maybe Bill knows Mel more than Mel does. I don't know. But I kept waiting for maybe a quarterback, so he passed on Jordan Love because he traded out a 23 in the first round where he could have taken him. And then Jalen Hurts, no. And then Bo Eason, you know, he had three shots at Bo Eason in the third round before he went in the fourth. And then that kid, James Morgan, that some people liked out of FIU, who went to the Jets in the fourth round. That was a pick that Belichick had traded to the Jets. So he apparently didn't even want James Morgan. So I have a hard time thinking it wasn't by design you didn't take a quarterback. No, it looks like it was completely by design because you had your shots. And then I look at the rest of the draft and, you know, Josh Uche, I've always liked him. He would flash for me when I watch Michigan. So I'm going to give you a good mark on that grade. But Anfernee Jennings for Alabama, I watched so much Alabama last year. He never caught my eye one time. Never did I say, wow, that kid's got a shot. That kid's got a future. I don't get it, and a lot of people didn't get it. So we're back to Kyle Duggar's your first pick. And, Shannon, you came from a smaller school, Savannah State. But this is Lenore Ryan. And I don't know. I would suggest that your Savannah State, what were they, the Tigers? Is that what they are? I think they're the Tigers.
We're Tigers,
That they played – Tigers, yeah, they played a tougher schedule when you were at Savannah State than Lenore Ryan is playing now. So, again, I could project Shannon Sharp as a dominating smaller school player than I could Kyle Duggar as sort of a, you know, a jack of all trades in the secondary where he can play safety, he could play some slot corner, he could play some linebacker. I'm sure Belichick can use him a lot of different ways, but there's some risk when you take Lenore Ryan because are you sure he's going to translate? Well, that was your first pick that you made, albeit in the second round. Yeah, and I'm thinking, gee, did you get significantly better on draft week? No, I don't see it. I'm sorry, Shannon. I think Belichick is in trouble going into next year.
Skip, I think the thing with Kyle Duggar is that, Skip, he tested very well. Skip, 42-inch vertical. He ran a very fast time. He seems explosive. And so you know Coach Belichick like guys that can play multiple positions. He likes, if you notice, Skip, he'll get a guy out of Alabama because Coach Saban, he'll jump in 3-4. He'll play the 43. So he needs guys that are versatile, guys that can rush from a lot of different positions. So I'm not surprised that he took Anthony Jennings. Because he likes those Alabama-type guys. But what I've noticed about Coach Belichick, Skip, he likes to get guys that you and I think, well, who is that guy? Or a lot of people are like, well, who is that guy? When he took Gostkowski, hell, nobody knew who he was. And he's just the all-decade kicker. Malcolm Butler. Like, Malcolm Butler? And all he did was make the greatest defensive play in Super Bowl history. So what Coach Belichick likes to do, Skip, he likes to take guys. If you look at the guys that he ended up losing, Jamie Collins was nothing when he went to Cleveland, got the big money. He came back, and then all of a sudden he turned in Kyle Van Noy. You're like, Kyle Van Noy, Detroit let him go. And then he goes to Coach Belichick, plays well, and he parlays that into a big payday for Miami. So what Coach Belichick likes to do, Skip, is take guys that does not have big names, that's really selfless, nobody knows a whole lot about them, get them, and then turn them into something. He's like, see? That's what coaching. So Coach Belichick, he likes to coach. Skip, a lot of guys don't like to coach. A lot of that guy can't play. Well, if you coach him up, he probably could play better. Everybody's not at the same skill level, Skip, where you just bring him out of college and you just plug him in like a Peyton Manning, or you just plug him in like an Andrew Luck or some of these Aaron Donalds. Sometimes you have to coach the guy up, get his technique a little better, and you'll have something on your hands. And I believe that's what Coach Belichick does. But if you look at his first three picks, Skip, it's not an accident he put him on the defensive side of the football. He wants to play a certain style, and he believes with the quarterback that he has, he's capable of playing that style.
Okay, I'm going to suggest to you that I'm going to be ahead of the curve on this one. I say Belichick is in danger of getting fired as the GM of the New England Patriots, because we've seen the trades, the Jimmy G trade, the Gronk trade, the Sanu traded four that he gave up the two for this year for a guy who just can't play. And now I'm seeing this draft and I'm saying, well, we'll see. But if it doesn't start panning out fairly quickly, I think that Robert Kraft is going to say, wait a second. Should he be wearing both those hats? I don't know. And then my final point to you, Shannon Sharp, is you have made me a bet that New England will finish better next year, have a better record than Tom Brady's Tampa Bay. And I'm sorry, I love that bet. I gave you a chance the other day. Do you want out of it for just one case instead of five? And you said you'd sleep on it. I'll make that bet again, or I'll give you that offer again. If you want out, you can have out for one case right now.
But Skip, there's still a possibility we might get Cam or Andy Dalton. And so I'll feel a little better if we were to get Cam or Andy Dalton. So, but Coach Belichick, Skip, it ain't looking good. And you, true story, Skip, Lenore Ryan tried to recruit me when I was coming out of high school. No mercy.
They landed plenty of help for Tom Brady in the draft. They grabbed offensive tackle Tristan Wirfs in the first round, then followed it up by taking a safety, running back, and receiver with their next three picks. So, Shannon, please give the Bucs a letter grade for the draft.
Skip, I gave them an A because they took care of the most important need, and that was get protection for Tom Brady. Wow. And they moved up to get their guy. Skip, they only moved up one spot to get their guy, but they wanted to make sure they get their guy. That's also what Aaron Rodgers is saying. So you moved up to get your guy, huh? Oh, you see how that works, Skip Bayless? Also, when the Patriots says, oh, we couldn't get it, you know, that wasn't by design. You can move up if there's a guy up there. Clearly, you didn't want anybody the same thing for the Eagles. Skip, but I gave them an A because even if they bombed the rest of the draft, which I don't believe they did, I like Antoine Winfield. His dad played in the NFL, Skip. So he comes with great pedigree, great lineage. Safety position, and they got a running back, Keyshawn. Oh my goodness, I don't even know why I mentioned it there. If I had looked over there and saw where Keyshawn Vaughn was from, I promise you I would not have mentioned his name because, forget that. But I like the first two picks. Antoine Winfield at safety and Worth, who many consider the second best offensive lineman in this draft. You got a guy because Tom Brady, you put all your eggs in Tom Brady's basket. And so you just hope he doesn't trip on the way to the market. So the best way to do that is to protect him. And I believe they got one of the best offensive linemen in this draft. He can plug him in. He can play right away, Skip. You get Winfield, who probably should start at the safety position. So I'm going to give them an A because they got a protector for Tom Brady, and that's what they needed most.
So I'm going to be objective about this even more than you were. I'm going to give the Bucs an A-, but only for the first three picks that they made. After that, I'm not so sure. But if I can quickly talk about the first three, silly me, I thought Tristan Wirfs would be the first of the four stud offensive linemen tackles off the board. I thought he would go in the top five or go fourth overall to the Giants. And you know the rest of the story. He was of the four, the one that fell to Tom Brady and Jason Light, the GM, who then made a slick little move to go up one slot to make sure they got him at 13 instead of at 14. So way to go. Just, and I'm with you, just on that move alone, it's a really good draft. But Antoine Winfield Jr., chip off the old block, is a playmaking little stud. He's only about 5'9", but he just makes plays. He's always around the football. That's what they needed, a playmaker in their secondary. And I believe he will take over that secondary quickly. And I believe he will be the quarterback of that secondary very quickly and start being the flash player that you see make play after play after play. Now, let's get to the real pick here that everybody is anxious for me to talk about. And that is a little man from Vanderbilt University. And by the way, Vanderbilt still has 11 players starting in the National Football League. That's pretty good. This might just be a steal in the third round because I watched every snap that Keyshawn Vaughn took at Vanderbilt. He's from Nashville. He started at Illinois, came back to Nashville, sat out a year. And he went for 1,300 yards and then 1,000-plus yards last year for a woeful offense in the SEC. Shannon Sharp, the Vanderbilt fight song is called Dynamite, and this man is dynamite. This little man is hard to get on the ground at maybe, what, 6 feet? Not, he's more like 5'11", probably 215. And he timed 4.5, but trust me on this, he runs faster with the ball under his arm than he timed. And he just lit it up in the SEC. And I am shocked he was still there in the third round. He can also catch it. Tom Brady is going to love Keyshawn Vaughn. And it's a name that just trips off your tongue. I love the ring of Keyshawn Vaughn, Keyshawn Vaughn. So Vanderbilt goes to Tampa Bay, and Tom Brady is going to go, thank you. I got my protector, probably my right tackle. We got a quarterback of our defense, and I've got a little man who's going to do James White-ish kind of things for me in Tampa. Way to go, Jason Light. You scored.
Yeah, I'm glad you got that because I just got a text. Somebody says Keyshawn Vaughn is with Clutch Sports. So, he Clutch. So, I guess he all right.
Oh. So, you have come around, too. You are now on the Keyshawn Vaughn train thanks to Rich Paul and Maverick Carter and all that. So, now Keyshawn.
He got to be good people. Skip, and they got Tyler Johnson, who was from Minnesota, the wide receiver. Now, you love the slot guy that they have in place, but it seems to me what B.A. is doing, Skip, he's bringing a bunch of these guys in. He go, hey, we're going to compete. We're going to have competition. Come training camp, we're going to have competition, and I'm going to make sure I got the best 11 and the best 11 defenders on the football field. There is no more of this, well, this guy got to play because he's making X amount of dollars. Because what he's shown you is that you're going to earn your keep here. That's one thing I do know about B.A. You're going to earn your keep, Skip. Now, they got Tom Brady in place, and a lot of people, they have high expectations. Tampa hadn't had these expectations basically since Gruden got there and what he parlayed that into a Super Bowl. They have those level of expectations again now, Skip. And so BA makes sure, says, okay, if we have these level of expectations, let's get people in place that can meet or exceed these expectations. I like what they did. Like you said, the first three picks, Skip, I believe they hit it out the park because they address needs. Not a best available. They got a need. And to make sure they got that need, they moved up, gave up a fourth round pick to get it.
Goats eat expectations like they're tin cans. They just eat them up.